Rashi writes in the Pasuk Kedoshim Tiyu, meaning Parashas Kedoshim, that Kedusha is specifically associated with Geder Erva. Only, as our Rigroner said, when Hoya Machanecha Kodesh, when our home, our community is the way it should be, then do we have the Shekhinah amongst us. And it is impossible to have Kedusha in the home when this Geder Erva does not exist. Rigroner also mentioned that Bechlal, we try to focus on positive Vinyanim, especially in Chodesh Elul. It's not a time to dwell on negativity. However, B'Poyel, when we have a problem in our hands, we have to deal with it. We have to face it. Just like in Gashmis, it's not a Seder. We can't, we have a leak in our home. No one's going to close their eyes and say, then I don't want to have to deal with negative things. There's a leak, and it has to be dealt with. Of course, it should be done in the best possible manner, and besimcha. The same thing when it comes to ruchnis. When we have a problem on our hands, we have to take care of it in the proper way. The first thing is, yidiyas hamach lechatzi yirafua. We have to recognize that there is a problem, not to bury our head in the sand, not to deny it, but to recognize there's a problem, and exactly what the problem is. The second stage is, to take care of the problem. One of the greatest challenges to Kedusha in the home that we have today is the technology. The technology which has brought us so much, which brings a tremendous tielos and avedas Hashem, which as Rabbi Groner explained, so many heroes can be learned from it. At the same time, it poses a tremendous challenge to our own avedas Hashem and the avedas Hashem of our family. This is something that many of us are familiar with, we have heard of it, and some of us may know about it. This is something that one of the focus of our event tonight, this is something that has to be addressed. We're now going to be showing a short video of Rabbi Avram Tversky. Rabbi Tversky is a famous psychiatrist, and he specializes particularly in addictions. In the previous times, he has dealt with mostly alcohol addiction, drug addiction, gambling. But today, his main focus, his main work is in the area of internet addiction. We'll now be showing a short video, the only solution to protecting your family.
Interesting medrash that when the Bnei Yisrael heard Hashem speak, they retreated 12 miles, or Yud Beis Mil, whatever that distance was. And Malachim had to come down and bring them back to Har Sinai. I think that part of the reason may have been that Moshe Rabbeinu told the people, Shem is going to come down and he's going to speak to you. Everybody was all fired up with enthusiasm. Kodesh Boko is going to come down and we're going to hear such enormous spiritual messages. They were ready for this great revelation of spirituality. And Hashem tells them, Lo Tignov. Don't be a thief. Lo tiltzach. Don't kill. Lo tinov. Don't be an adulterer. And they said, who are you talking to? This is what we came to hear. This is what you think of us. And so they ran back 12 miles. And the Malachim had to drag him back. No. You have to listen to this. You have to listen to this. In the introduction, you were told that there's something that I may be specially equipped to give some messages. There's some truth to that. Because probably what I can tell you could be told by any rov, by any mashgiach in the yeshiva. The problem is that sometimes when you hear a rover, a mashgiach in yeshiva, give these kinds of messages, you say, what do you want? He's talking party line. That's what he's going to talk. Yeah. That's all he knows. Well, you can't accuse me of that. First of all, I'm not interested in party line. Secondly, I've been in a lot of places. One of the Mefarshim cite the Pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech says, Tov lishmoa garas chochem milishmoa meish shomea shir kisili. It's better to hear the reprimand of a wise person, and the translation is, rather than to listen to the songs of fools. So he pointed out, that's not what the Pasuk says. If that's what the Pasuk wanted to say, where it said, Tov lishmoa garas chochem milishmoya shir kisili. What the Pasuk says is, it's best to hear the reprimand of a wise person. Meish shomea shir kisilim, if he was also a person who heard the shir kisilim, a person who also heard the other kinds of songs, the other kinds of messages. So I want to tell you, I've heard them all. Okay. Whatever you want to come up with in secular studies, I won't say that I'm that well versed, but I'm certainly not ignorant of them. So I'm a little bit different than a Rebbe, or a Shiva, or a Mashgiach. And that's why I think that I'd like you to listen to what I have to say tonight. And it's not because of gaiva, because of vanity, that I say that what I tell you tonight may be the most important thing you'll ever hear the rest of your life. That's how important it is. So let me get to the specific issue that I feel is so important to address. And that is the problem that our young people, as well as older people, are getting hooked and addicted to the filth, to the pornography on the internet. And it destroys them morally, it destroys families. And it is a severe addiction. You know, there are some drugs that you may have to use several times before you get addicted to them. There's some drugs that the first time that you take it, you're hooked. And when I've got to tell you about pornography and accept my word as a psychiatric authority, if you're sitting at your internet and you have a pop-up of an indecent scene of nudity, you'll have exactly 3 milliseconds to shut that off. And if you sit and watch it for several seconds, you're hooked. That's how fast it happens. And it's a cancer. You know, I think that what you'd really like me to tell you is to give you some solutions. Here's what you do. Do A, B, C, and D, and you'll be saved. You'll protect your children. I wish I could tell you. I wish I had those answers. I wish I had those solutions. You know, a patient comes into a doctor's office, and Chas V'Shalom has found that the patient has a severe type of cancer, and it has spread to other organs. And the doctor says, look, this is going to require a very drastic treatment. It's going to require surgery, and it's going to require chemotherapy, and it's going to require radiation. You know, all of those treatments can be very, very distressing and very, very uncomfortable. And the person may say, but isn't there anything I can do to escape the misery of those treatments? The doctor says, no. Your life is at stake You want to save your life, this is what you got to do. Now, nobody wants to be miserable, so people look for easy ways out. Some of you may remember, just a while back, people were running to Mexico to get Laetril. That was the miracle drug for curing cancer. Well, that's long gone. But every once in a while, there's still some kind of cure that people come up with. And I can't blame them for looking for an easy way out. There just isn't any. And when if a person's life is at stake, he's going to have to decide whether he wants to save his life or doesn't he. And if he wants to save his life, he's going to have to take the miseries of the treatment. There is no easy way out. And there is no immunity. You know, as I look around, I wish that there were more people here who could have experienced what I experienced back in the 1940s. Because you see, before there was the salt vaccine for polio, summer was a frightening season. And once there was 2 cases of polio in the city of 2 million people, all the swimming pools were shut down. Children were not permitted, they were not allowed, the parents didn't allow them to go to theaters, the places where people assembled. Child developed a backache, they ran with him to the doctor, the fear was that it might be polio. I remember that. No one was fool enough to say, my child is immune, he's not going to get it. There was no immunity. Everybody realized that every child is vulnerable, and there was a fright, there was a panic. That's where we are today. That's where we are today with this plague of pornography. It's a cancer. It kills, it destroys families, and there is no immunity. And if anyone thinks I can handle it and I won't let it affect my behavior, I can tell you what a Mashgiach of the Yeshiva cannot, because I see the cases. It's a slippery slope. Many years ago, this letter came to Hamadiya, and I have to read it to you word for word because it's that important. The writer says, I'm going to reveal something to you I've never discussed with a living soul and thought I never would. Your answer could save my life. More important than to read your answer, I'm writing this so that it can be printed its entirety and read, because there are hundreds of people in my situation. I'm a 21-year-old yeshiva bocher. I went to prominent American yeshivas all my life. I'm now learning in the famous yeshiva gedola in Eretz Yisrael. Modesty aside, I was at the top of my classes in shiurim, widely respected by my friends in rabbeim. I planned to learn many years and go into chinuch. I would find a perfect shidduch quickly, some Rosh Yeshiva's daughter, raise a beautiful family and spread nachas all around. A perfect life I waited. I was the Frum community's model son. As far as anybody knows, all this is still true. When I was in the first year of his medrash, at age 16, my parents brought the internet into our home and my secret life began. To condense the story, I was very quickly hooked on Devorim Asurim and Forbidden Pictures. Let's not kid ourselves. Like every person on this planet, I was always curious. And all the blockers my parents set up fell away quickly without their knowledge. Like any person that becomes addicted to something, I quit many times. Once, for a whole year. For months, many times. I buried my head in the Torah in order to save myself as best as I could. But it always came back. Going against everything I'd ever learned, I continued. I slowly trained myself to shut God out whenever I wanted to. And this led me to more and more serious averus of Hamanot Tzon. without going into detail, suffice it to say that I'm terribly ashamed of myself because I am not a loyal Jew anymore. But all this is secret. I allow none of it to show through. As much as I want to help myself, I realize I can't, but I can't get help either. I can bring myself to discuss my dark side with no one. The only difference between me and others who went off the derech is that because I'm afraid to face the people who would lose respect for me, I pretend to toe the line, and therefore I am unhelpable. Hundreds, maybe thousands of yeshiva guys are seriously addicted to a secret life such as mine. I know. I see it. It takes one to know one. You can imagine what kind of rocky futures are awaiting us. I read all the Jewish Observer articles on the evils of the internet. I want this letter to be published to say that you have no idea how prevalent and far-reaching the effect already has been and will continue to be. What you do see is less than the tip of the iceberg. My question for you is, how do I get out? Is this a behavioral addiction that only a psychologist can help? Can I turn to a Rebbe and avoid involving my parents? Or is there a way I can help myself? Without being overdramatic, you are reading the last gasp of a drowning soul. I had no answer for this young man, because this letter was written about 8 or 9 years ago. There wasn't anybody to whom I could send him who knew what to do about it. Right now there is a website, Guard Your Eyes, which has a great deal of material and a great deal of help, and has saved hundreds of people that I already know of. You can't get rid of the internet. It's here to stay. And all the filters, I think the filters are extremely important. They're particularly helpful as a preventative. But once a person is addicted, like this young man said, all the filters, anybody savvy enough to run a computer can run around the filters. And the problem is a cancer because it spreads. It destroys families. Wives will say, I can't trust him. I feel betrayed. You have no idea the number of families that are being broken up. And it's not only young men that are caught into this horrible condition. It's also older people. One young old man said, I visited my father-in-law. So my father is a well-known Torah supporter. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a pillar of the community. I asked, could I use his computer? And I was horrified to see what it was that he was looking at. How do I respect that man? How do I teach my children to respect their grandfather? And it isn't only a masculine thing. There are young women who are caught in the pornography as well. It does not show any respect. And you'll say, well, look, all that is a tiger. Let him learn Sifra Musa, let him learn Mesilas Yesharim, let him learn Reshus Chochma. Let him learn Mar Torah. I'll tell you why it won't work, my friends. You know, Adam HaRishon, we are told, had no Yetzer Hara. Well, then how come he had the Chet Eitz Hadas? How come he had the sin? There was no Yetzer Hara. Because there are two kinds of Yetzer Hara. There's the instinctual Yetzer Hara, which is within every individual. I have one, you have one, sir. And then there's another Yetzer Hara called the Satan. And the Satan is a Malach or a Kodesh Baruch Hu created with the mission to make people do sins. That's not the Yetzer Hara. That's the Satan. I'm going to tell you a Gemara. It's a frightening Gemara. End of Kedusha. Rabbi Akiva used to provoke people who were had given into their tiredness, or had given into their lust, and had given to the temptations. And he used to mock them. So Seth Sutton said, "I'll show you." The Gemara says that the Sultan disguised himself, transformed himself into an attractive woman, sitting on the top of a tall palm tree, and seduced Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva started to climb up the palm tree to reach her. But before he could get to her, Hashem told the Sultan, "Stop. Who are we talking about? Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, who when they raked his skin and tore his flesh, right? And tortured him and he could scream Shema Yisrael? Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva couldn't resist his seduction? The answer is Rabbi Akiva could have easily overcome his Yetzer Hara. That was no problem. But this was not the Yetzer Hara. This was a Malach. This was the Sultan. This was an angel, an evil angel with extraordinary superhuman powers. This was not the Yetzer Hara. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could stop the Sultan. Let me tell you something, my friends. The inside of the internet, there is a Sultan, not a Yetzer Hara. And learning Musar is not going to stop that addiction. Because you're not dealing with the Yetzer Hara, you're dealing with the Sultan. And you say, "Oh my God, are you naive? The Sultan's in the internet." Trust me, I'm telling you, the Sultan's in the internet, and learning Musar is not going to stop it. You're going to have a force much stronger than that. That's the cancer that we're up against. And of course, once that starts bad enough in itself, who knows where it's going to end up. Oh no, not my kid. Don't walk around with these blinders. It happens to all of us. We're all vulnerable. All the evils of the world, we're all vulnerable, regardless of how frum we may be, regardless of how cautious we are with glatt kosher meat and the chol of Yisroel and pasyoshen and whatever else you want to say. All these wonderful hummus are fine, right? But they're not enough. It's not going to stop kids from the pornography, and it's not going to stop kids from becoming addicted to texting. Something else has to happen. Something else. And it's not going to be easy.